Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Kevin Harlan's appearance on the program is sponsored by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series! Toronto has won!
The NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
man.
Yeah,
here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Yes, indeed. We're broadcasting today at Big O Tires. Hour number four, fourth quarter of the program. Finishing strong here in the fourth quarter. Big O Tires finishing strong in this 2019 year. Black Friday deals being rolled out early. Take advantage of them. They're good till December 8th. Save on things like oil changes, brakes, car batteries. Buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation, including brands like Nitto and Cooper. Interest-free financing is available as well with approved credit. Your nearest store can be found at BigOTires.com. We're at 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. That's basically the outer road here by 3rd and 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. So come on by. I was just talking about Independence with Daniel. Almost said Independence, but in Lee's Summit. You can also register for the Ultimate Tailgate Package. So we just had a couple of folks register, but still pretty good chance of winning. And we're talking about winning tickets to see a couple of tickets to see the local pro team. You know who I'm talking about. A new grill, $100 gift card to do some grocery shopping with, and a night stay at the Embassy Suites, plus oil changes and alignment for a year from Big O Tires. Register right now. At Big O Tires here in Lee's Summit. Come on by and say hello here in the program. I've also got some, let's see, what do I got here? We got some, need to give away some Charlie Hustle gift cards. So come on by. I'll give you a Charlie Hustle gift card if you make your way by. Thanks to our friends at Good Sense. Order yours Good Sense right now on your way home. GoodSenseSubs.com. You can do it with the app if it's on your phone or online. Make sure you're part of the loyalty club. Get 10% back. But they brought by a party tray, which is almost gone, man. It got crushed. But thanks to the folks at Good Sense. And, of course, we're going to talk to Kevin Harlan. First, though, some news out of college basketball. James Wiseman, who's the number one player, or at least in one of the services, the number one player in the country. We were just talking to him about with Gary Parrish last night, plays at Memphis, top recruit. KU was in on him. All the big boys were in on him. Chose to play for Penny Hardaway at Memphis. Turns out I hope he enjoyed that game he played for Penny Hardaway, because it's the only one he's going to play for Penny Hardaway. He's been declared academically ineligible. A review found that in 2018, when James Wiseman moved to Memphis, Penny Hardaway helped him move to Memphis. At that time, Penny Hardaway was just an AAU coach. He was not the coach of Memphis, but it makes him a booster as an alum of Memphis. And therefore, he has been declared ineligible and will not be playing college basketball this year. So big, big news from college basketball. 7-foot center, runs, jumps, big-time athlete. He's done. At Memphis here today. We're just getting started, though, with our man, Kevin Harlan, the best in the business, CBS, TNT, Westwood One. Kevin Harlan, my friend, how are you?
I am doing great. Seems like we talked early this morning, too, but boy, here we are again, and it's great to hear your voice, Seren.
Well, and it's great to hear yours, and does it get any better? I just want to know, we've got it right here, incredible Monday Night Football call yet again by you. Here it is.
Oh, there's a cat on. A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10, and he got in the end zone at the other end of the field. A shotgun snap from the 39 in Dallas. Here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way, and so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field.
That, by the way, the cat would later score again. I thought was very impressive. That is as good as it gets, my friend. That is as good as it gets.
Well, aren't you nice to say that? I didn't have a 5-hour energy drink before the game. I had a 15-hour energy drink before the game to get through all that. But that cat was fat too. It was a fat cat, and we had fun with it. And the game actually was good at that time because the Giants were leading. The Giants were beating the Cowboys, and we're moving in again. And I thought the cat would just run off the side of the field and head to the exits, but it stayed out there for a while. And like you said, eventually went into the end zone for a touchdown.
You know, I thought about King of the Cat Call, Cat Call Kevin, Kevin Cat Call Harlan, Mr. Cat Call. You know, I really thought any of them could work. You know, I could leave it up to you, I guess, which way you want to know it.
My greatest fear here is that I'm going to be known for animals and drunks running out onto the field after all these years in the NFL. But maybe maybe there's more to come. There's things I don't even know about that'll happen out there.
Yeah, give us a minute too, by the way, and we'll get to that. it speaks to your diversity in what you do. And so it was impressive. It was very impressive. Let me tell you.
You are very kind.
And are you aware that the cat has not been found?
Somebody from the New York Post called me yesterday and asked if I had done any follow-up on it. I told him, I haven't. It's on my list of things to do to check on the cat, but I talked to Peter King last night. He's going to do something in his column for Monday morning, and we talked last night after my game in Charlotte for the NBA, and he said that he had done a little bit, or he had people that had done some research, and they have over 300 cats, they think, that patrol that stadium, and the same number that are over at the horse track, which is right across the parking lot from where MetLife Stadium is. So, and they have the cats in the horse track because the horses are scared of mice and rats, and these cats feast on the mice and rats, according to Peter King. And
okay.
I think the same probably is true, obviously, at the stadium.
Some would say that's what's going on the field at times there with the Jets and Giants. Quote, we are hopeful that together we can find the black cat that we all fell in love with Monday night, the stadium statement said. Even though we want to relocate him, we still support TNR, Trap Neuter Release Programs. This is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue organization. That's what they said in their release. So they are looking for the cat, but it sounds like the cat's got a gig getting the mice and the rats.
Eating pizza.
Yeah.
Eating leftover pizza.
It's not a bad gig if you're a cat. He clearly was not undernourished.
No.
You know, it was not a thin cat.
And the Jets want to sign him.
Yeah. That is fantastic. That is great. I'm curious, when you had that call, do you think the Cowboys are legitimate contenders for a championship?
Well, they look good, but I think everybody looks good against the Giants and the Jets, so it's so hard to get a feel on it. But I would say, that a couple of weeks earlier, there was that 2-point win for the Jets over the Dallas Cowboys in that same stadium. So I do think Dallas is legit. I think they've added something with Michael Bennett on their defensive line, and they've got a quarterback playing at the very top of his game. They got an elite receiver and an elite running back. I mean, we know about their offensive line. I mean, they have everything kind of in place. It's just, for whatever reason, they've been stuck kind of around that 500 mark. Now they're 5-3, so perhaps this will be a part for them to take off. I do think Philadelphia will make a second half of the season run, and I think they will challenge the Cowboys, who have already beaten the Eagles, by the way, earlier in the season. So, the Eagles have some work to do, certainly, but I do think Dallas is maybe not the elite team that, say, New England or perhaps San Francisco, even Green Bay is, but they're maybe in that next level of conversation, and I think they've got about as good a chance as any to win that division, thus they get in the playoffs and and they can make a run in it, and then we'd never know what happens once we get to the playoffs.
I'll go you a step better. I think the Eagles are going to blow their doors off. They've got the Patriots
at home. Do you really?
Yeah.
I like that prediction.
The Eagles have got the Patriots at home, and I think the Patriots kind of got exposed a little bit, finally had to play some stiffer competition, and usually long winning streaks end with a double thud. I use this more in the NBA and Major League Baseball, but I think it could apply here that the Patriots, you know, hit down hard twice. The Patriots coming into Philly, they host the Seahawks. If they can go 1-1 out of those two games, they finish up with at Dolphins, home for Giants, at Redskins, Cowboys at home, and at Giants. That sounds like a long winning streak for me at the end of the year, where the Cowboys now host the Vikings, at the Lions, at the Pats, Bills at home, at the Bears, Rams, at Eagles, and then finish with the Redskins. Maybe blow their doors off is a little strong, but I think they win, and they win a game clear. And I still think the power in the NFC is the Saints and the Packers and the 49ers. But I'm interested. The Cowboys are always an intriguing story. What do you make of the Mitchell Trubisky? We touched on this yesterday. The guy says he's, you know, we're turning off TVs because we don't want to hear that outside noise. And he's immediately persecuted for saying, I don't want to hear the noise, when his quote is, we don't want to hear the noise. Still an ill-advised comment. But the Bears are not getting up off the mat, are they?
It seems like they're struggling, and they've got, you know, all the parts on defense we've known about, and the team seems basically just a copy of what they had last year when they won the division. It looked so strong. But Trubisky has always been the big question. We did the early season game, Kurt and I did, in Chicago, and they played the Packers, and Green Bay won that, I think, 10-3. I think Kurt Warner was on record as saying, you know, the question is Trubisky. And a lot of scouts didn't see it when he came out of North Carolina. A lot of scouts didn't really see it last year, and he was able to manage more than really win and perform. And then Kurt's big complaint with him is that he just doesn't see the field. It's like it closes, and they're only working on about a quarter of the field where he's making any kind of read and then trying to execute. And I think his confidence seems to be shot, and he's got this great coach, as we know, in Kansas City, because he was with Reed for a couple years in Kansas City. I can't figure out either why they're staying with him or why they feel like there's this room for improvement, because if you watch him just in his every kind of play mode, it's not impressive, and it doesn't give you the feeling that some other younger quarterbacks that, you know, like Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or some of these other guys showed at that stage. This guy's had a lot of starts in the NFL, and there doesn't seem to be really any kind of progress. And I've that would be very disconcerting. They spent a very high draft pick on him. You know, they've kind of built their offense around what they think he can do well, but he's not even coming close to what they have projected at this stage with a, you know, quarterback-friendly head coach. So this is a problem for the Bears, because this team is right now on the mat.
If they don't go 3-1 in their next four, where they've got the Lions at Rams, Giants at Lions, if they don't go 3-1, they finish with the final four of Cowboys at Packers, Chiefs at Vikings. It will get ugly and bloody quickly. I mentioned the Niners. You're going to have the call of that game with the Seahawks. Is this a team that's really to be reckoned with? I'm just not willing to go all in on a team. And I know, you know, people, to me, you know, figure out the conclusion first and then write the backstory. And the backstory is Jimmy Garoppolo's good, because that's what we've always heard. That's what everybody wanted to say when he was with New England. And, oh, my goodness, it was a steal for the 49ers. So nobody, till he just bottoms out, wants to say, well, maybe he's just okay. I know they're playing really well. Their defense is great. But don't they smell like the team that loses to the big quarterback? I might have asked you this before, but I know you're getting ready for the game, and you've looked at it probably a little bit more. Do you think the 49ers are going to really be a team that can go to the Super Bowl?
You know what causes so much pause with the Niners is, aside from Garoppolo and maybe, you know, like Kittle, their tight end, who's a Pro Bowler, or Emmanuel Sanders, who they just traded for with Denver, there are not any recognizable names on that team. Bosa is having a rookie of the year type of performance, certainly, but there's no real star power. Richard Sherman is in the last stages of his career, starting, playing well. I've watched their last two games on tape this week, and it's not like they are just like overpowering teams. It's not like, but they're kind of steady, and they have really, what I really admire about Kyle Shanahan, their coach, is he has molded that offense to what Garoppolo does best. And Garoppolo almost looks like the same guy on every play. He's not using different launch points. He's staying in the pocket. It's a pretty quick read. The passes aren't going downfield all that long. But they've got some nice, quick, you know, running backs that really the running game has been terrific. They've got like four guys, three of which were undrafted, that are really effective. And then they added Tevin Coleman, you know, who was injured in the early part of the season, is now is healthy. And that has, I think, made for a team that they can hit you a couple different ways, and they really play within the framework of what they've got designed. And it's been their defense, which has been, you know, the thing that I think has probably made them, you know, certainly not only undefeated, which I think is a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but I do think they are an undefeated team in a tough division, and they've won in Los Angeles. This will be a test this week. Seattle comes in there, and Seattle is strong, kind of like San Francisco, though. Aside from Russell Wilson, there aren't a lot of name players on that team, and they're much different than the team that was a powering team a couple years ago. So, but this is one of the key games in the NFC. There is no doubt about it. They could have as many as three teams out of that division in the playoffs, too. I think the Rams are going to do some pushing here in the second half of the season. And so you take San Francisco, which is undefeated now, Seattle right in back of them, and I think then an emerging Ram team, you could have the two, you know, wild cards out of that division, which would be really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. All right, real quick on the Chiefs. I said this to Matt Moore, I think they're in a great spot at 6-3. With the schedule that they've got coming up, they don't have any Jets or Bengals or Dolphins down at the bottom, but they've got plenty of teams that are sub-500 left on the schedule. No one's talking Chiefs as the number one team. Are they in as good a spot as you could possibly be to make a run and finish this thing off and end up still being the number one seed?
Well, when they get 15 back, you know, they're going to be right where they want to be. Moore has done an admirable job with this position that he's been thrown into, literally called off a high school practice field, and to do what he's done has been really one of the nice stories about this season. And if it does culminate with a big, you know, big finish, you're going to look back on him and you're going to say, you know, that he was a great pickup, a terrific signing, helped patch Band-Aid the team at the time they needed it the most. Mahomes has got to kind of pick up where he left off, certainly, and be the quarterback that we all know he is. But yeah, no, I'm still very bullish on the Chiefs. The most complex, creative, interesting team out there is Baltimore. I'm going to see them Sunday. And Baltimore is just so different defensively than most teams, and we know they're completely different offensively. And while I want to say, yeah, I'm hanging my hat on the Chiefs, and I do feel very strongly the Chiefs should be there at the end, I'm not completely sold, perhaps, that New England is going to be as good as they've been the first half, number one, and because Brady, to me, does not look like he did in the first month. And I'm not sure what's wrong. I'm not sure if he's injured. I'm not sure if he's old. I think maybe he's a combination of all this stuff. But Baltimore, to me, right now, is more intriguing than the Chiefs are. Chiefs have been there, done that. Baltimore is kind of coming out of no place here with this quarterback who's only made 16 starts in the NFL as of this weekend. And he is just lighting it up, and no one has found a remedy to stop him. So Baltimore, to me right now, has got my attention in the AFC. We know New England is there, and I really feel strong about the Chiefs. But Baltimore is that team that can get in there and kind of pry things in a different direction. So I think they are worth watching.
All right, final four time with Kevin Hartlin. Four quickies, Kevin. First with this one. Better call, your cat call or this one?
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
they're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Which one's better? Which one's a bigger favorite for you?
Well, when the cat came out, it was a good game. When the drunk came out, it was a bad game in the second half, and the place was half empty. So we were looking to amuse ourselves and stay awake and focused and engaged in the game, and that call kind of did it for us. It kind of gave us some spirit in the booth, and Kurt and I were able to finish that game. So I think I probably put a little bit more into the drunk, and I actually would say that had I had the same situation with the cat, I would have tried to, you know, dress that up a little bit more, but the drunk was so funny, you know, the cat was just kind of like, wow, look at this big fat cat on the field. But the drunk was kind of he was a rascal. So
all right,
that was kind of fun.
I vote drunk too. All right, if you could only have one of these quarterbacks, who would you rather have leading your franchise, Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson?
I think Dak Prescott, and I'm not necessarily a big Prescott guy, but I just wonder if they're going to catch on to Jackson, who I think is more talented than Kaepernick, basically the same skill set, but what the difference might be that the San Francisco offensive coordinator, I'm sorry, that the Baltimore offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who was in San Francisco, is really put together a nice offense built around what that quarterback can do, and probably has a little bit more God-given talent than maybe Kaepernick did in terms of athleticism. He is phenomenal. He's unstoppable so far, and no team has figured out how to do it, but eventually they will, and Kaepernick seems to be more of the classic quarterback who can also run. So I'll go with Dak Prescott.
Okay, I like that. Peanuts or pretzels, you're getting ready to get on the plane. Which way do you prefer for your in-flight snacking?
Well, I am deathly allergic to peanuts, and if I don't get to a doctor within about 15 or 20 minutes, I'm toast. So that's an easy one, pretzels.
Okay, all right. Let me file that away. Don't send Kevin any nutty any nutty treats.
So the case of Snicker bars that I sent you, it's bad news?
That's not good.
I heard they're packed with peanuts.
Yeah. All right, and finally, do you own a cat?
Do I own a cat?
Yes.
I'm allergic to cats as well.
Is that right?
I am allergic to cats.
Oh, you just first of all, I'm not a big cat guy. I don't hate cats, but I have no interest in having a cat. But Jed Marshall's life revolves around the feline. He is old.
No,
cat
no
woman.
Kidding. Well, good.
He's got about 40 of them running around his apartment.
So the cat that I sent you with the Snicker bars to deliver the Snicker bars, bad idea.
There's nothing worse than a peanut-eating cat coming to visit my house.
Curtis strapped a basket of Snicker bars to a cat and sent it your way. Kevin, we'll get that turned around.
How thoughtful.
We'll get
how
that.
Thoughtful.
Yeah,
an early present from Curtis. God bless you, my son. That's wonderful.
We'll turn that around. Safe travels. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
Always fun, Seren. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Warren Moon, the Titans / Oilers career passing yards leader. Steve McNair second. What Hall of Famer is third? It is George Blanda. Played for the Oilers primarily in the early 1960s. He is third.
Played till he was 107.
He did.
He actually was 46, 47, 48, 47, something like that he was?
47, I think, in 1975 was his last season.
Wow, yeah, I played for a long, long time. Pride of Kentucky, George Blanda.
Yep.
Rudy Salazar's a UK guy, so I throw that around here. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we were playing for. And don't forget, you can get that great Joe's Kansas City Barbecue and send it anywhere you want around the country. Ships nationwide. Send loved ones or clients, if you'd like, some delicious world-famous barbecue. Ribs, burn-ins, even a Z-Man kit. Also great for corporate gifting. Like I said, I think it'd be a great gift to give some clients. Let them know you care. That great barbecue. And I don't know how they do it, but Joe's doesn't do anything unless they do it absolutely right. And that's what you get. Perfect barbecue scent. I really, truly don't know how they do it, but they are magicians. Send Joe's KC BBQ.com. That's where you go online to make your order. And if you want to say, hey, I got a perfect,
selection of things I want to put together. You can call them, and they'll specialty order or specialty put together a package of exactly what you want at 913-764-5637. That's 913-764-5637. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get it today. All right. Live radio, breaking news, and evolving
back,
story.
Back and forth we go, huh?
James Weissman will play tonight, the number one player in the country. That was declared eligible just a little over an hour ago. Declared ineligible a little over an hour ago with the statement that his college career is over because Penny Hardaway is alleged to have paid $11,000. Was that what we saw?
$11,500.
$11,500 in moving expenses for the Weissman family to move to Memphis when he was his AAU coach. And this happened in 2018. An emergency stay has been given by a court in the same county as the University of Memphis. Stunning local politics at work here has put a temporary ban, a temporary restraining order on the suspension kicking in. So they're going to fight this legally. And I'm going to tell you where this is headed. Nobody is taking any kind of the penalties given by the NCAA, and you're going to see similar actions, I think, taken by Kansas legally. Nobody is taking this lying down. Everybody now just sues back at the NCAA. The North Carolina game plan has been written. The power schools, of which Memphis is on the fringe of being a power school, certainly as an American Conference member, they are one that is certainly big-time basketball, but kind of second-tier football. But nobody seems to take the NCAA as the sanctioning body. Everybody wants to sue them in court. So what is the point of having the NCAA?
Excellent question.
And well, at some point, these member institutions, listen, you know, you think you've been wronged, fine. I mean, I think I know how this is going to end up. Who thinks that James Weissman is ultimately going to be found eligible? That Penny Hardaway is going to have been found to have done nothing wrong? I don't.
No.
He started coaching AAU like 2 or 3 years ago and immediately had a powerhouse. Why? Was it just because of his former NBA name? There are lots of former NBA guys. He immediately got the Memphis job. Why do you think that is? Everybody's been kind of scratching their head, and Gary Parrish will be a great guy to talk to about this on down the road. He lives down in Memphis. He's got great insight into that program, so we'll talk to him about it. But I do think this is significant around these parts and all of college athletics because they are not just accepting the punishments. The NCAA is supposed to be the ruling body that hands down punishments, and you appeal to the NCAA. You don't file injunctions in court. If everything is going to be, you know, put out in court, then why not have laws enacted where everything is done by the courts? I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know that breaking away from the NCAA is going to change anything, is it? Like, these schools now think that they're just going to sue for what they want. At some point, somebody has to be the judge, jury, and executioner. Is it really going to be on our courtrooms? Does this, as much as the FBI, we say, do we need to be spending this kind of money on the FBI investigating college basketball programs? Do we need to be watching states enact laws to enable kids to make money off their likeness in college athletics? Does the government really need to be in this? Isn't this more than anything the part that has you scratching your head? They're going to go to court and spend courtroom dollars, the money it takes to be in court, on appealing a suspension of a kid? Like, I'd rather there be laws to protect capitalism, right, earning potential for American citizens. I'd rather the government be involved in that than a suspension being objected to in a courtroom rather than to the NCAA. There is a policy to how this works. And I'm going to tell you, it creates numerous layers of problems. And so I do think this is significant, and I don't think it's shocking that Memphis is fighting it. I think we're just seeing it more and more and more. Schools don't like what they get, And maybe they're justified, maybe they're not. I'm sure every school thinks they're absolutely justified, and they're the one school that's been wronged like no other school has ever been wronged. Therefore, they're going to court.
Yeah,
but everyone's doing it now. Sorry, Curtis.
No, you're good. No, and as you said, we're just kind of cracking the surface, and the time that's wasted, that's being wasted now, is going to be doubled and tripled and quadrupled as this thing, you know, more and more schools find themselves in a situation, and it's going to be further and further and further from what this whole thing was designed to be in the first place. And we're miles down the road from it anyway, but it's just like a freight train now. It's how many people are going to be a part of this now?
Well, and think about the irony also that the Chase Young story came out earlier today. For those who don't know, the defensive player from Ohio State was suspended for tomorrow's game against Maryland. He's arguably a top five pick. You have James Wiseman. Pretty much the same thing happening in two different sports, but yet one is ruled eligible to play, the other is not.
Better lawyers? I don't know.
Yeah.
Ohio State can afford better attorneys.
Yeah, maybe it is just as simple as that, you know? Boy.
It's a mess.
It is. I mean, I think, and I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think it's going to get better. I don't think there's an easy answer to it. And I think where it is the schools don't trust the NCAA, and you can be like, oh, great, let's go form a new governing body. And they're going to do what with that one?
Right.
Oh, we got a new governing body, so now we're just going to take the penalty? I mean, this is where, listen, if it's all going to be in the courtrooms and the kids are playing, why are we doing this with our colleges anyway?
Yeah, because whatever
play minor league sports.
Yeah, whatever new body is going to be, the problem with the bodies is that the people that are in them and that control them, if you create another body, it's going to be the same thing. It's just going to, you know, still made up of the same group of people, the same population.
Yeah.
It's like when they say in politics, you know, throw them all out and reelect them. Same people, same thing.
Yeah.
It's just new people doing the same stupid, awful stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the way it comes down. Yeah, there's no doubt. You know.
And it sucks because, you know, I'm not being Pollyannish about this. I realize that you can't just let anyone do anything, I guess. But, you know, the college athletics it can be so compelling, and yet you routinely have to delve into these situations like we've had to with both Ohio State and Memphis. I mean, I'd love to see this kid. This kid seems like he's a great player. I'd love to see him watching play. Now, are we going to watch him play? Are we not? Is he going to suit the school? Is he going to play? What's he going to do? It sucks. I want to watch college basketball. I want to watch college football. I don't want to deal with this crap. But, I mean, as I said, unfortunately, it's what it is now. So it's kind of you kind of fold it in and you deal with it. I'm not happy.
You know who doesn't have this problem?
Hmm.
Sporting Kansas City.
True.
You know who doesn't have this problem? Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
They don't screw around
right.
Acting like our minor leagues are amateur.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
I mean, it's, you know, if somebody wants to pay a kid to come play ball in Memphis – they're willing to move him. Who cares? Right? Who cares?
Right.
It's an unfair
school.
Advantage. Yeah, right? I'll tell you who cares. The school who didn't get the kid.
Yes.
So pay more. That's what we do everything else in America, right?
Right. Sure.
But somehow, no. This is amateur athletics. They're there for the scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, we're so far down the road from that, you know, to try to hang on to that as being a reason to not allow things is just like.
The only reason they do it is because they know there's no way to govern it. And that's why the NCAA, you're like, okay, we're going to have each level come up with their own way. They're going to take a year, and they're like, okay, we're going to buckle under the pressure of these states. Each level, Division 1, 2, and 3, come up with your own rules or your best guess of what you think the rules ought to be, and then we'll talk about it in a year. Well, how do you govern it? Like, what's the limit? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's let this kid, let this kid make $1 million to wear Nikes. Or they're at Memphis. I think they're a Nike school. Let him make $1 million to wear Adidas, and don't make him wear the shoe that Penny Hardaway's getting paid for or the university's getting paid for. Let him wear whatever he wants. That's making money off your likeness. And they want to, like, somehow make it like, well, they can do autograph sessions, or we'll give them a percentage of jersey sales that have their number on it. I mean, listen, you and then what? You know, you've got to just open it up and say they can make whatever they want, however they want it. And this is what you have created in the athletic world. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. So, I mean, we're barreling towards the amateur part of the equation really going away. You've got to have the minor league option for people to make money, make as much money as they possibly can. That's how the system needs to work. And until then, it's just unfair. I'm not saying it's evil. I'm not saying they have it horrible. I mean, that's the thing is, everyone who, when you say, well, listen, just get rid of the highest level of college athletics. Let them all go play pro ball at any age. If you're 14 and you've been identified as a talent in basketball, make the NBA have a couple levels of minor leagues. Let them sign the guy, take him, and put him in there. That's all you have to do. But nobody wants to hear that because they want to see the best play for their school. So they try to come up with reasons. They bend their morality to try to say, well, no, they should have to go to my school for this reason. When in reality, all you're doing is, like I said, bending your morality. Just open it up. And the ones that don't get called can go play. Listen, and if you build great facilities, you can still get some of the best. See college baseball versus minor league baseball. There are kids that would say, whoa, it's better to go play baseball in South Carolina than be a third-round pick and grind through the minor leagues. I'm going to do that. You'll still have some of those kids. It'll just lose some of its relevance and importance. It's just the reality of how things work. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at Big O Tires. Let me tell you how it works right here. Their Black Friday sales are going on right now. You can take advantage of buy select three select tires, get one free with paid installation, including brands like Ditto and Cooper. Interest-free financing is available on approved credit. Also savings on oil changes, brakes, car batteries, and more. Plus, signing people up to win the ultimate tailgate. We are here at Big O Tires in Lee Summit. One more segment here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petrov. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a couple of things as we get out of here at Big O Tires. First of all, thanks to everybody at Big O Tires. Take advantage of their early Black Friday savings on oil changes, batteries, buy three tires, get one free, even instant pre-approved, if you're pre-approved, 0% financing as well. Buckeyes are going to be without star defensive end Chase Young. A lot of people think he'll go number one in the NFL draft. Potential undisclosed violation of NCAA rules shouldn't be a problem against Maryland. Question is whether or not he gets back for them. Patrick Mahomes, the biggest news, of course, declared himself fit to play on Sunday. He will give it a go. He'll do more than give it a go. He's expected to play, and I think the Chiefs feel like play well in this. And then some fantasy football news. Vikings will be without Adam Thielen with the hamstring injury. So if you got Thielen and you had him in there and you got nothing, get him out of the lineup right now. Plus, the Steelers are going to be without James Conner. Coming up, second week in a row without James Conner. Also, Juju Smith-Schuster listed as questionable for Sunday's game, so make sure you keep an eye on that. We'll update you that during the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show Sunday morning. That's when I'll talk to you next.
Jed Marshall.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Curtis Siebold.
I'm Curtis Siebold. Yes, I am.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
So, Ren Petro.